Let's go on to accountability. And if you are looking at the slides, then we're going to be at be accountable, choice number two. So what it means is to take full ownership of one's speech, actions, and feelings, and of their consequences. So it's, you know, it's the idea that you you just know that once you've spoken, I like to think of it as once you've spoken your word, that you honor it. You know, that that is so much to do with being accountable. And as we get into it, we'll see what not being accountable clearly is. So let's just go to the next slide. Just a quote that I like. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. In our dance industry, it's interesting because there is some talk, rumors, gossip that goes on, especially in the bigger competitive world. And it's interesting how you hear about certain professionals and just everybody speaks so highly of them. There's like nothing bad anyone says about certain professionals. Eddie Simon, Victor Verace, Heather Smith. I mean, these are some of the people that I have become my friends and that just everybody seems to agree. And then there are others that, you know, people don't say good things about. And it's somehow I believe it's a lack of integrity on their part and the word gets out. So, you know, once that's public, you know, it's a very hard thing to overcome a bad reputation. Very hard thing to overcome because even if you change, you know, you sort of have to prove it and people's memories will still be that, you know, you did not have integrity. So it's just something to be very aware of. We'll go to the next slide, and we'll just talk about what accountability is and isn't. So it's not the same as responsibility, because responsibility usually means something is expected from you. Oh, I have to do this, or I have to show up on time, or I have to go to work, or da-da-da, or I have to, they make me fill out all these forms, and oh, I have to put down my students' goals. That's some way that, you know, we might think of responsibility. This is very different from that. This is more from yourself wanting to do that, wanting to say, I've agreed to work here. I've agreed to these policies and to these procedures, and I'm 100% on board to do them in the best way possible. So it's a very different attitude. It's definitely not self-blame, so you don't want to take accountability so far that it's like, well, if it didn't work out, it must be my fault. So it's not, you know, everything and anything that goes on in a lesson or a studio is, you know, is your fault or requires an apology. It's just to instead really kind of notice your own behavior, you know, where, and just to be able to take ownership of your own behavior. And then it's independence, not codependence, meaning you're not responsible for more than your own share. It's kind of saying the same thing as the self-blame, very similar. So it's not trying to take care of other people, in a sense being codependent, or being responsible for more than one share. It's just being 100% accountable for oneself and expecting others to do the same. So we'll go to the next slide. And this is unaccountable behavior. And for some reason, there's a lot of this in the dance business. Blaming, being defensive, making excuses, and in general, a victim mentality. Now, my personal opinion is that the reason this is can be rampant in the ballroom dance business is by, of course, who we hire. And I, you know, my experience tells me that when you hire people who have very little work experience, very often young people, and very often when you give people free training, and believe me, it's not 100%, but a lot of times people just do not have enough maturity to know how to behave within a business. And it's one of the reasons that, you know, I happen to feel that people having to pay for their own training and some, like the Ballroom Dance Teachers College, and when you hire people through something like that, you get people who are much more are more accountable and more responsible. And I'm sure we've all worked in studios. I'm not sure, Karen, in the ballet world, if you've had this experience, And I'm not sure the equivalent, Michelle, for you, but I'm going to guess, Slava and Jessica, that you've been in studios where there's a lot of blaming, gossip, defensiveness, excuses, and...
Oh, boy, yeah. We've got stories.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's, I find it very, very unpleasant to be around. I mean, I did, you know, I was able, through my business at the Metronome, to be much more selective because of the teachers graduating from my program. It was more like a 16-month-long job interview that I had with them during their training. And, of course, I knew everything about them by then. And there was a such clarity about who they really were as an individual. So I hired such outstanding people. But occasionally, you know, there'd be somebody who would slip in, not so much maybe as a teacher, but a front desk person or just somebody as part of the staff that would have a tendency to do these things. Be defensive, blaming, and is very, very unworkable. So let's go to the next slide. And this, you know, if a teacher realizes that they are being victims or thinking like one, this is their signal that something needs to change. So it, I think it's a really good little thought to have. It's like, because we are, each of us, I can sense from each of the people, all of you on this call, that you are accountable and you are, you know, all of us by and large, not blamers or excuse makers or victim types. But I think we have within us that chance that we'll have a moment, we'll feel that way about a situation. And it's just, it's like a signal. It's like, I'm feeling like a victim. And it's a great, great thing to notice and to be able to snap yourself out of it.
Can you give an example? Because I actually don't feel like I have experienced that at the ballet.
Oh, you're so lucky.
I've experienced other things, but not this, really.
Do you mean for yourself, or like what it might be like in a studio where this is occurring?
Can you give an example of how someone feels like they're a victim at the studio?
Sure. If the teacher that you hire that is constantly complaining, you hear sort of through the grapevine that so-and-so is very unhappy because they were promised on the showcase that they were going to get paid such and such, or they didn't expect that they were going to have to go to the rehearsal, and that's not the deal, you know, so that's, you know,
oh, okay.
One thing. You know, they're just, they're, I guess you could say complainer.
Actually, now that you say that, I can't think of someone like that.
Oh, exactly.
So now I understand better, thank you.
Okay, sure. Yeah, actually, that's probably a good word to put in there. They're the complainers, you know, like everything is happening, it's everyone else's fault. They're the victim. Well, of course, you know, let's just say there was some miscommunication about the pay, whether or not you got paid for rehearsal for the showcase or not. An accountable person would simply say, huh, I thought we were getting paid, now I hear we're not. Let me go to the person who can do something about it, the owner, the director, you know, whoever that is, and just ask to speak to them and just say, you know, I just have a question, Diane, I would love to just clarify with you. I want to understand more about our compensation regarding the showcase. Do you have time to talk about that? Oh, sure. You know, and then you just ask the question. And then clarity comes in, and it never had to be told to anybody, right? Never had to be said to anyone else. And some people would rather remain a victim and enjoy the complaining than ever actually really and truly solve the problem. They're the ones that cause the most problems for a studio. And I actually do know a studio owner who ended up closing his school because of staff people like this that he didn't fire. And he just, you know, the studio just, he became victim to them, in a sense. He didn't have the courage to speak to them, ask them to change their behavior or fire them. And it just became so hard to run that studio with that type of staff that he just couldn't take it anymore. And very unfortunate, because he was actually my teacher for many years, and he's a wonderful man, but he did not have the skills to talk to his staff and to communicate the kind of behavior that was necessary to be successful or to get rid of those people. Okay, so we'll go to the next one, and this is another one that you could also put in your studio. It's quite a little poem. The snake that poisons everybody. It topples governments, wrecks marriages, ruins careers, busts reputations, causes heartaches, nightmares, indigestion, spawns suspicion, generates grief, dispatches innocent people to cry in their pillows, even its name hisses. It's called gossip. Office gossip, shop gossip, party gossip. It makes headlines and headaches. Before you repeat this story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? And, you know, that's another, it's sort of also part of this accountability conversation, is that, you know, gossip is really, really hurtful and harmful. And the dance business has a lot of it. And I think you don't want it in your studio. You know, you don't want to be around it. You don't want to participate in it. Maybe you've heard this as well, that if you're around people who are gossiping and you're there and you're not saying anything, but you're still there, that actually is your gossiping as well. And that takes a little bit of courage, because it means that you actually excuse yourself. And you don't have to judge people, or it depends on your situation. I mean, if you're the owner, you can simply say, you know, that this sounds like gossiping and it's not helpful or good in any way, and I appreciate it, but we all just move on. Or if you're not in a situation where you can say that, then you can just simply say, excuse me, I need to go somewhere. But you should not participate in it.